to a certain point, we are suffering from what we call autism in children. You know, these children that go off into their corner and act as if the rest of society simply doesn't exist. So in Canada, there is a society, in case you didn't know it, a society that is struggling against inequality and against the actual evolution of neoliberalism in Canada. Since 1995, there have been very important struggles and all throughout Canada, and that we don't know much about. You perhaps remember the Days of Action in Ontario. 10 million people participated. Of those 10 million people, there were a few who were probably must be interesting, even for members of the PQ. So I think that we invited today, for this reason, Brother Eru to come and speak to us about the coalition against the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty, and which is very important at the level of Canada, and of course at the level of definition of the position of those that are excluded from the Canadian society. Last June 15th, where there was a demonstration in Queen's Park. Start from there and then move back and say how we arrived at June 15th. There were two commentaries after the demonstration of June 15th. One by Gerard Kennedy, who's a liberal, that said after the demonstration, of course, denouncing it, particularly because of the violence that there occurred on that day. And I'd like to keep in mind while I'm saying that this is a remark that his experience is, used to work in a food bank for a certain length of time, and all his experience of poor people is that they suffer in silence. This is the role. So please keep this phrase in mind while I'm speaking. Another one that I'd like to keep in mind while I'm speaking. This is explaining how we arrived at June 15th. A commentary that was made by the police in an article in the National Post. In English, didn't even seem to feel the blows from the billy sticks, billy clubs. So I'm going to come back to these comments, but then I'm going to move back from 1995, which was a very significant year for us in Ontario, because in 1995, this is when the government that has declared war on the poor was elected. Before the election of the Harris government, the NDP government had started attacking the poor. They were the first to introduce what we call in English the welfare cops. The police that were supposed to police, particularly the people who received welfare, to make sure that they weren't cheating and that they deserved their money. After the election of Mr. Harris and his government, the first attacks were against poor people. Mr. Harris's whole platform and that of his government were to say that those people who were on welfare were thieves, were lazy, and that he was going to clean all that out. So the first thing that we saw were 21.5% compression of welfare in 95. Right after that, we saw that we were no longer building economical housing, starting in 96. We introduced workfare, but at this, and at the same time, we call the poor people, we turn them into their various demons. I've been working in shelters in Sherbourne, I've been for the last 12 years. And 96, from 96 on, 3 months after these changes and this change in the government, when these the beginning of these attacks against the poor, we saw a doubling of the people coming to our shelter. In 96, the city of Toronto, over a space of 2 weeks, three men died, froze to death in the streets. Over 2,000 evictions per month that we calculate were occurring at that time. For the first time in 1996, in February, after the three men froze to death, and this was something that from the point of view, from the international standpoint, this didn't look good. So the army came and opened the armory, and in 2 years, it had over 200 people in there. And 98, after a lot of difficulty with this new policy, the city of Toronto declared that the situation in Toronto, in terms of how homeless, was a crisis, it was a disaster. And this state of emergency or this state of disaster is still in place. And while all this was going on, the trade unions, along with other social groups, got organized from the beginning pretty well to start to resist against this type of measures. There were all kinds of laws against the workers, closing hospitals, cuts to education, etc. So we had our action days, which went on for about a year and a half, and which accumulated the biggest demonstration that there's ever been in Toronto for 2 days. During 2 days, there were over 500,000 people, and the majority of the people had to call a general strike in Ontario. At this point, after Toronto, the people who were in control of the movement of the action days came to the decision that they needed to back off a bit, to de-escalate, as they called it. And so then we moved to Peterborough. And what we saw was that there was a decision taken that we would stop the action days, that the energy would be put into the electoral process that was supposed to the elections that were going to occur a year and a half later. For those of us who were involved in downtown and saw the misery and people dying in the streets, we were very depressed by this decision, because the electoral process, as far as we were concerned, it was something in which we didn't really have much faith. And of course, what happened a year and a half later, when the elections came around, and what was very difficult for us to watch was that both the NDP and the Liberal parties, the issues that were put forward in education and health, but not very little about social housing, the fact that people couldn't live on what they got from welfare, and it was we had been completely abandoned on these two issues. And once again, Mr. Harris and his government continued with their war on the poor, not on poverty, but on the poor. Once again, they were attacking the poorest people that we have on our streets. And they promulgated the Safe Streets Act, which penalizes people who are begging in the streets or people who are the squeegee, people who wash windows or car windows. They make people take drug tests if they were on welfare, forces people to pay if their people damage property. And the community treatment orders were also put into effect, which are orders that force people with psychiatric problems to go into hospitals and take their medication, and if not, they're shut up. And in the same climate, we have a city with a mayor who thinks that he is the center of the world, and who also is participating in this war against the poor. And this way, there's a grid process trying to bring the Olympic Games to our city. And the police want to make the downtown area into an amusement park. But just to the east of the city, of this area, is one of the poorest neighborhoods. In order to do what they need, what they think they need to do, they have to take over this neighborhood. So there's a gentrification process going on. I've never lived through anything like this before, where the services to the poor and the poor are being forced out of the downtown and out of the neighborhoods where they've lived for years and years. And in Toronto we call this the social cleansing. The last summer and this summer there was the CAC Community Action Policing, or CAP, where the police go into the poor neighborhoods in the downtown area and eject the people from the parks. Harassment, intimidation, and violence against people to the degree that I've never seen before, that I've never experienced in the past, and that I hope will end someday. All of this in a climate where there are thousands of people in these shelters that live in the parks, families that live in motels in the suburbs, and that when we ask social housing for them, what we do is put them in prisons. When we ask more money for welfare so that our families can eat, they give us a fine, a $110 fine for begging in the street. So it's gone to the point where the situation on a day-to-day basis is getting worse and worse. Two to three people, and many people that I know, are dying in our streets, sometimes in silence. So this is the climate that led to the organization by our coalition on the action of June the 15th. It's something that we put forward and started discussing in last fall, when we were saying that we couldn't go on like this. We've been abandoned, and we're going to defend ourselves. So we decided to work and bring the most people possible that we could along with us on June the 15th. So we had to go back to the trade unions, talk to them, describe to them what was going on, and ask them to support us and to be there that day, which is what happened. There was a group of our allies that was formed, CAW, the CAW, the various social groups, trade unions. There was a lot of discussion, a lot of debate, because the tone of the demonstration was clear from the beginning. We had three demands that we wanted to put forward: social housing, cuts of social welfare, and the criminalization of people in the streets. And so we wanted to put this forward to the provincial legislature in Greens Park, and it was clear to our allies that that was our intention. So June 15th arrived. We went to Elm Gardens, which has a history for us because we've already had different actions there for the last 5 to 6 years, trying to defend the people who were sleeping in the park. We went to Queen's Park, and as we moved forward, we had a delegation that asked to come in, and they refused us entry, and we tried to get in. I don't know how many people with us. I'm not going to go into the details, but the fight started, and there was a battle that went on for about 40 minutes. And at the end of this, there were very violent arrests, the most violent arrests that have ever occurred in Elm Gardens, and from then we left. And what this initiated in our city I don't know if the debate has gone beyond our city, but was the debate about the violence that occurred that day. The media immediately started denouncing, and the trade unions stayed with us. They defended us. Without the trade unions and without their support, our organization would not have been able to struggle like as it did. Which brings me back to the point that I raised to begin with. The only thing that we're actually asking for, and I know there's been a lot of debate and a lot of people that disagree, I don't want to start with the discussion about violence versus nonviolence, but people need to understand we have to have a choice. You have to understand that that day, if we had just stopped at the barricade and gone back to our neighborhoods where every day we see violence and an integral violence against among the poor people who attack each other and fight among each other. Often we have to close down our various areas because somebody's been shot. We can't have a meeting here because somebody's been shot. So at the moment where somebody can see that this violence is being addressed, we ask for the right. We don't ask for, we tell you we're going to defend ourselves as well as we can up until then. And the other thing I talk about, there's the remark of Kennedy, General Kennedy, that says that poor people suffer in silence. I'd like to end on this. 2 years ago, I came here for a demonstration carried out by the Committee of the Unemployed. And if you give me the choice between going to a food bank in order to go and ask for a can of beans and a can of tomatoes and a little bit of peanut butter, and to go there quietly and leave quietly, or to come here and go eat at the Queen Elizabeth Hotel with other poor people, I'll be back.